Okay, just jumping in with us, want to let you know, Ecclesiastes, once again, it is a worldly experiment. That's what it is. A very rich man, a very wise man has drifted from God. That's King Solomon. And he's certainly pursued all kinds of vices. And in chapter 3, I've made a statement when I started this Bible study, and I do believe it. You got to be really careful when you quote from the book of Ecclesiastes. It is absolutely scripture, but keep in mind, he's coming to conclusions, he's making a statement, and statements, plural, under the sun, right? What would life be like without God, with no existence or no accountability to him? So it's really important that we don't just grab verses and just say, this is God's truth. It's God's word. But it's a man trying to find fulfillment without God. Having said that, I really do believe at least the first 8 verses in chapter 3, there certainly is some truth to this. He's made some observations during this experiment. Solomon, being the thinker that he is, he's observed human behavior. He's made some observations about how life works. He's made some observations that every year about this time, this is how it works. This is what happens. And, this has been so inspirational to especially the anti-establishment group, the hippies. Songs have been written about Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. So we're going to take a look at that tonight. Starts out like this. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. I want to start there tonight. To everything, there is a season. Is that true? Are there other scriptures that certainly agree to that? There is. Life is seasonal. I want to just start tonight by just sharing some things practically about that concept, guys. I've been meditating on that concept for 2 days. Been, just thinking about just seasons of life. And let me share this. And I checked. I know for my wife too. But once I came unto an understanding that life was seasonal, I don't know if there's a biblical truth, and I don't want to be dramatic. I thought this through. I don't know if there's a biblical truth that more profoundly affected my marriage. And I'm talking about my marriage in ministry, okay, after Christ and after all that. When I really grasped the concept that life is seasonal, this liberated my marriage in the terms of, our specific role in ministry. Because here's the deal, guys. Let's just talk about seasons for just a second. This is how it works. When December comes around, okay, the busy season kind of comes to a lull, the earning and the working and trying to store all our, nuts and wood and oil and whatever you store, canned goods, all that's done. If you didn't do it, it's not there, right? And then that first snowstorm comes in December, and you and I both go into a certain mode, don't we? We're prepared. We know it's not going to just clear up tomorrow, right? So you go into a certain mindset and a certain heart condition where you just kind of hunker down and you go into, it's the winter season here in Maine. Well, guys, life is like that. Life is seasonal. Okay, let me maybe make it more personal. There was a time, I don't even like to think about it, but there was a time in our marriage trying to do ministry where my wife and I definitely believe we're kind of more on the legalistic side of scheduling, okay? So much so, because you understand that there's a balance, right? We got to balance this out, ministry and work and family and sex, You all awake? Good. Okay. Right? That's a marriage. And so we're trying to balance this all out. Just want to make sure you're with me. So you know what we actually did? This is crazy. We took a schedule and put it on our refrigerator. Isn't that nuts? Saturday through, or how does the week go? Sunday, I don't even care anymore. Seasonal, doesn't matter. Sunday through Saturday, and we just designated our schedule, and we had our schedule down to the hour. Isn't that crazy? We thought we were so smart. And listen, we're like, Tuesday is family day, and Sunday is this day, and Wednesday is here, and I work that, we had our schedule just so micromanaged. And I'm not kidding you when I say this. It was the most depressing, stressful time in our ministry and in our marriage. Because we're just staring at that schedule, and it's like there's hands coming through the roof just ripping that thing to shreds all the time. The phone would ring a crisis, but it's family night. I know, but they're going to die. They want a pastor at the hospital. You know what I mean? But the schedule, well, it was so stressful. It really was. You with me? And we fought so much. We did. It was one of those things where we sat down, we agreed on the schedule, you can't leave. And I'm at that point where, okay, you call her then. You tell her I'm not going to be able to be there at the hospital as her grandfather or her husband or her child enters into eternity. You call them. Okay, go. that's the way that worked. But I'm telling you guys, once we grasped the concept that, number one, the Lord orders the steps of the righteous. The Lord orders them. Once we realized that life was seasonal, I can't even explain how much burden was lifted. And to just trust God with your schedule and to realize, man, there is seasons in life and in ministry that is just a dead run. You know what I'm talking about, right? Where you just feel like, I just want a cup of water, you know, proverbially speaking. And then there's lulls. There's lulls where there's just nothing going on. The phone's not ringing. You play cribbage. You watch a Murder, She Wrote or something. Something maybe more godly in your home. I don't know. Whatever you do. There's just a lull. And we really realize that life is seasonal. So very seasonal. Well, Solomon is suggesting that there is seasons to life. If you're under that impression, you will gear up for seasons. And you won't get so discouraged when a storm comes because you realize, no, that's just part of the season. It might not be immediately come and gone. It might be a length of time, but I know this season will come to an end. Another place practically I believe that this is important is raising little children. We've done it ourselves. We've certainly ministered to a lot of young couples that are ministering to little babies. And can't you get into the mindset when you're changing diapers every 6 to 7 minutes, right? And you're hearing that, wah, you know, every 3 to 4 minutes. Can't you get into the mindset, this is forever, what were we thinking, right? But you know, as those kids grow up and pour their own cereal, that has always been an awesome day in my home. When a kid, no, Lisa's like, no, they're going to make it, just let them try. And those little Cocoa Puffs or something healthy, fall into that bowl, the milk, and they did it. They poured, and at that point, I'm off the hook, man. From now on, kid, you get your own breakfast. But they do, don't they? They get self-reliant. They're able to kind of work the fork without putting a little rubber end on it or whatever. It's really cool. Life is seasonal, guys, and if we go at life like that, I believe it is so unbelievably freeing. Even trials are seasonal. They really are. They come to an end. I hope you hear me. I hope you hear the word. I agree with Solomon. I think that's a good observation, even in his carnal mindset. Well, you got that one right, buddy. Life is seasonal. And to every time, every purpose under heaven, an appointed time. Okay, I want to throw a couple verses out there. Ministry. Life is seasonal, but there's certain things where it's open season all year. You know that? Paul said to Timothy, preach the word, Timothy. Be instant or be ready. What's he say? In season and out of season. That's a good verse for all Christians, but specifically for pastors, I suppose, to keep it true to its context. There's certain things, Tim, it's open season all the time, and that is sharing God's word. Be ready. Be ready to interject, instruct people in the truth of God's word. Always season for that. But here we get into some of the specifics. Verse 2. A time, an appointed time to be born and a time to die. That's the world we live in, right? There's a time for birth. It's an awesome time, isn't it, guys? I think probably the most miraculous thing I've seen. I've seen people healed from diseases. I've seen people, go from darkness, living in sin and health as their future. Within one Bible study, raise your hand, tears start flowing, and go from darkness to light. That's a miracle. Isn't that an awesome thing when that happens? And they say, I want to receive Jesus. That is the coolest thing, man, especially in ministry. But, one of the most miraculous things I've seen, apart from the ministry world and, just doing God's thing, it's birth, man. What a crazy thing. Just to get that little, whatever that thing was, little stick with a pink X. That was cool. To come home from work and she's like, check it out. No way. Again? That was always a cool thing. And then just to know that little thing was growing, that little thing. They're boys. They're humans. I had three humans. Just to know it's grown in the womb of my wife. And then to put your hand on that thing and just to see that little footprint. Boom, that was Joshua. I'm coming, man. Buckle up. Just to see that, right? And then the day comes, man, when you go to the hospital and that little child just comes out. And you know, the first time they open their eyes, that was really cool. Listen, I'm not, I don't personally think any babies are cute. I hope that doesn't offend anybody. I've never seen a cute baby, even my own. I love them, but they always look pretty rough to me, personally. Like E.T. with needing an opportunity to grow into all that skin. Real red and, you know, eyes rolling around. I've never seen a baby go, oh, that's precious. I know my mom and my wife are different. They find some cuteness and all that. But it was a miracle to me, and it was an instant responsibility. You dads in the room know what I'm talking about? When Dylan was my first child, I was 18 years old, man, just a kid myself, just struggling with lots of stuff at that point in my life. And I remember when that little Dylan came out. And I won't give you the whole story because I promised I'd never share it again in church. But when he opened up his eyes, man, his eyes were so huge. And he looked at me, and it was like he looked through me. Do you know what I mean? Like, you are my daddy. And there was something that happened in my heart. It really did. It was like, okay, Aaron, it ain't about you anymore, buddy. Your decisions don't just affect you anymore. What your wife has been preaching for 9 months, which was, what kind of father are you going to be? She's right. Oh, my goodness. You know, there he is. It's a time to be born. It is an awesome time, man. Don't you wish the world around us, guys, appreciated birth more? Don't you? The crazy world we live in, they don't appreciate it. They don't appreciate life. They don't see it as something God has done, a miraculous thing that God has done. You guys know in our country right now, the birth rate is at an all-time low. You know that? If you're into stats, just about a little over 1% a year is the birth rate. So I looked this up before our study. 13 children per 1,000 are born, per 1,000 people are born last year. It's a little over a 1% increase in our population. The mortality rate, the second part of this, and by the way, these are 14 pairs, and each one are perfect opposites. Okay, there's a time to be born. There's a time to die. It's a hard time of life. You know, the mortality rate right now in the United States is just under 1%. So we're almost at a dead heat, you know, in terms of life here in our country. The average life expectancy in the United States right now is 77 years of age, which has actually gone up a little bit, probably because of modern medicine. We've gotten pretty fancy with some operations and some transplants, and pretty fancy. But guys, having been at a funeral just a week or so ago, it's such a reality, such a final part of life on earth, isn't it? Time to die. And can I share something with you without you thinking I'm weird? I guess that's up to you what you do with this, but I will tell you as a pastor, and please don't take this the wrong way in light of a wedding coming up, I would rather do a funeral than a wedding any day of the week for a couple of reasons. Number one, they show up crying at a funeral. Can't mess that up, right? That was a joke. Well, they do. They show up crying. So, you know, if I ever did a wedding and everyone left crying, I probably, that'd be my last wedding. But anyway, the reason I love to do a funeral is because it is an unbelievable opportunity to point to Jesus Christ. Because here's the deal. Everybody, atheist or not, their heart and mind enters the room thinking about eternity. It's instant. Even though there is no God and they're going to hold their ground, they're wondering about that person they love. Where are they really right now? Do they know we're here? Do they know we're having this meeting? It is such an awesome opportunity, as far as I'm concerned, to just say, there's a God in heaven, and he's made a plan. Death is not part of his original plan. We created that. You get an opportunity to answer a lot of questions, too, at a time of death. A lot of people want to point to God and blame God, which is interesting. live their whole life ignoring him. You don't have anything to do with me. But yet at a time of death, there's all these questions. Why did you let this happen? Well, guys, death is a result of man's sin. We understand that here, right? You don't blame God for death. We create. We brought that on ourselves by disobeying God. God made it very clear to Adam and Eve, the day you eat it, you shall surely die. Death will be the consequence of disobedience. They did it anyway. And you think, well, I didn't. Listen, Adam and Eve was the best the human race had to offer. We've de-evolved since Adam and Eve. You believe that? I do. We've come a long way down. But death is a part of life. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted or harvest. Okay? Some of you are thinking, yeah, I want to get out of here because I got things to plant. This is the season, right? And if you don't take advantage of the very brief growing season we have here in Maine, you're going to have to go to Hanford all winter long. That's just the bottom line. There's a time to plant, right? Solomon is making that observation. You just can't plant all year long. There's a window. You got to jump on it. You got to till the ground. You have to put the seed in. You have to make sure it's fertilized, watered, and then pray and keep those kids out of that garden, right? And the deer. It's a time to plant. And then August, in our world, is a time to pluck up that which is planted. That's the fun part, isn't it? All the weeding, all the, you know, tilling, planting, watering, getting the pests out of there. It is a fun thing. I grew up, you know, with gardening in my life. Every time I went to my father's house, and there were seasons where I stayed there longer than others, it was all about weeding that garden, man. My dad was big on that. Work before play. But we would always play. We'd always fish and water ski, and swim at the lake. But we learned about gardening, and my dad is into it. My dad, he definitely has a green thumb. He's a gifted farmer. So I learned a lot of things about that. And I know Lisa's like, well, why don't you help me now? Verse 3. No, just kidding. There's a time to harvest. Man, I remember it as a kid. And going into that garden and those tomatoes. I love tomatoes out of the garden. Going in there and just pulling those tomatoes when they're still hot. I don't like cold tomatoes as much as I like hot ones. Do you know what I mean? When they're right out of the garden. And the why would you wash that thing? I love the dirt, everything. Just slice it down the middle. I always put like a quarter inch of salt on it. And then, you know, a quart of mayonnaise. That is something to eat, man. I can take the health right out of, you know, fresh garden vegetables. Anyway, radishes, kale. I love eating. I could live in a garden. I love vegetables. Do. But let's put a ministry spin on this, guys. There's a time to plant and there's a time to harvest. I don't know that that's what Solomon was thinking, but it's my Bible study. It's a time to plant. It's time to instill truth, God's word. That's a fun thing too, isn't it? And then there's a time for harvest, salvation, maturity. That's an awesome thing. Isn't it, guys? You parents that have just invested in your kids for years and years. And then they stand for Christ in their adult years. The harvest. Isn't that an awesome thing? Isn't that a great thing? What a blessing. Or just to you know, as a pastor, to see people coming to the church nervous and what's this church thing all about? And then to see them start in the back row, nothing against the back row, by the way, just to see them start making their way down the front row and be like this crazy guy right here, just leaning over and writing. No, that is a cool thing. The time to plant, time to harvest. It's a blessing. Here's one. Verse 3, a time to kill. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. That word kill is pretty general. It means slaughter. It means to take life. It means to aggressively smite, as Mr. Strong's puts it, with the intent of killing. Okay? If you eat meat, you certainly agree that there's a time to kill, right? You're just not going to let that thing get fat and fat in your farmyard. You're going to kill it eventually. What about human life? Is there a time to take human life? I believe there is. I certainly believe if a man threatens life as we know it, that man has just given up his life. And I do believe in capital punishment. The justice system can have holes in it, and there's always somebody who was unjustly accused. I realize there's always errors. Well, let's just assume he's guilty, okay? Let's just assume we know he did it, and there is no confusion. Is there a time to take life? I believe there is. There's been a lot of veterans come and gone in the ministry I've been involved in. A lot of veterans that have beat themselves up because they on the battlefield have taken life. And somebody shared a verse with them in Exodus chapter 20, "Thou shalt not kill." I've seen those signs being flashed as veterans are going overseas. "Thou shalt not kill." I don't know what their agenda is, to create condemnation in men that stand for freedom, to create condemnation in the hearts of men that serve their people, serve their country. I don't quite understand that. But there is a time to kill, biblically. Guys, think about this. There's a time when a man will act in disobedience to God. A priest, right? A king, for that matter. And the scriptures are very clear, and God smote him dead. You got a moral issue if you believe across the board it's never wrong to kill. God just violated his own moral law if you take that to that extreme. There's a time for that. I really do believe in self-defense, for example. If somebody comes into my home with ill intent after the sun goes down, I will start a prison ministry. And I don't mean that in any way other than I love my family. And I've determined a long time ago, either I'm going to go and never know what happened to my family, or he's going to go, or she. It doesn't matter. I just believe that's part of love. So there it is. There's a time to kill. Right or wrong, there's a season in life where we certainly see that come into play. A time to heal. Time to save life, right? Time to go after people that have been wounded and patch them up and rescue. What a heart, man. Don't you love our country? We have money for that, guys. You understand that? That's all about blessing and prosperity. We actually have infrastructure and services available that can run to a house that's on fire, run to an accident. Do we take that for granted? I hope not. I've been to places where they don't have that. I watched a woman, I think, bleed to death. I left just before, her final breath. Saw a horrible accident in Honduras, horrible accident, where this little tiny, I can't remember the name of the truck, Isuzu. It's one of those pickup trucks where you saw a lot in the 90s, but you don't see them anymore. Well, they're all in Honduras, just, you know. But just to see that truck going down this crazy highway, this big 18-wheeler backed out and just crashed. And a man that was in the back of the bed catapulted over that truck, and then this husband, a little child, and a wife. And that wife just crashed against that windshield. And all the blood on that poor woman. And they called, and I was there for an hour and a half. They called, an ambulance. Never came. Just don't have those services in place. And there isn't the compassion that we see here. But it's a time to heal, guys. It's a time to rescue, to put everything else second and run to rescue. Look at this one. A time to break down. Not emotionally. This isn't, don't let this become your life verse. See, I knew it was okay. No. A time to break down and a time to build up. Demolition. There's a time to take something that has been constructed and say, you know what, I'm not going to invest another penny in this. It's going flat to the ground. And that's smarter. That's good stewardship. You understand that, right? There's a time when something is swaying in the breeze and we've tried to keep this thing standing. It's time to just tear it down and to build it up. Guys, I believe that too from a ministry perspective. And I will tell you, that is biblical. God says that concept or shares that concept with Jeremiah and some of the opening chapters of the prophecy of Jeremiah. That, spiritually speaking, this is a ministry of just breaking down, right? People come in to church with concepts, wrong concepts about God, false doctrine, heresies they've embraced. And there's a time to break that all down, to combat it with the truth of God's word, and just to see all those walls crumble flat. And then you can start building back up again. Unfortunately, there's times when we have to go in reverse in life. That's what this is talking about. I'll pick up the pace. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. That's easier for some than others. I know there's times where I know I should be weeping. A good friend of mine, grew up with him. His youngest brother ended his life years ago. And I remember getting that news. And this is a childhood friend. And I remember getting the news that he took his own life. Troubled kid. And I remember driving on my way to their home in Glenburn, Maine, and just being so stone cold emotionally. I remember saying, God, please, when I get there, help me to cry. Does that sound weird? Maybe some of you brothers, I think, can relate to that. I just knew that was the most appropriate ministry I could do. What am I going to say? Just help me to cry with these people and grieve with them appropriately. I believe that. Mourn with those who mourn, weep with those who weep, laugh with those who laugh. And the Lord was faithful. I don't cry easy, but there's a time for that, guys. There's a time to weep, my Christian brothers and sisters in this room. Have we become so cold and hard-hearted that when we see the atrocities on the news that we see every night, it's just news? Do you know what I mean? Have we become so desensitized that our heart doesn't break anymore because of the sin and the selfishness of our society? There's a time to weep. Jesus did it often. In fact, the book of Isaiah tells us that he was a man of sorrows. A man of sorrows. You can't cry and be a man. Take that up with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's all I have to say. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knew what it was like to weep. And a time to laugh. That's the good part of life, right? I can do that. I can laugh. Certain type of humor. I can laugh at myself. I think that's important. In fact, I can laugh at myself long and hard. And that's why I like to tell stories about pine salt tacos. See? It is ministry. There's a time for that, guys. In ministry, it's a necessity, at least in my home. There's times when we just go through the list of comedians, wholesome, godly comedians. Make me laugh, honey man, because I want to. It's like medicine. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. Again, here we have the funeral, right? Time to mourn, a time to dance, the wedding reception, which is really, really awkward in Maine. I love the wedding reception in Maine. Every bride I've ever interacted with, come on, let's dance. That is a difficult thing in Maine. We're going to dance everybody out on the dance floor. You see all these guys, they just ate the food. No, I ain't dancing. I'm really happy for you. I think it's great. You got daddy and daughter dancing. That's always cool. You have the little, they go through the line, and I always like to watch that. I like to watch people cry. Wow, when daddy and daughter dance, people start crying. Have you ever noticed that? I've always been intrigued by that. Look, it's just instant. People start crying. But then when they do everybody on the dance floor, I always feel bad. Just for a second, though. Anyway, there's a time for dancing. For me, it's in complete, utter darkness. Total privacy. With maybe my wife. But the cool thing is, I married a woman who hates to dance. It's like a match made in heaven, man. Dancing! No, no. Praise the Lord. Okay, here, real quick. I remember the first time I was with my wife. Was at a prom. Wasn't it a prom? I think it was. And we danced. She looked good. She actually had the same dress on that she got married in. That's another whole story. But I remember, you got to picture this. I'm an 18-year-old kid. She's a 20-year-old. What is she doing at a high school dance? You take that up with her. Issues back then. I remember she came up to me at this high school dance. She's like, want to dance? I think that's what I did. And I remember dancing. I don't know. I was never taught. In fact, I grew up in a Baptist church. That was like the unpardonable sin in the church. You don't dance, It's just a bad thing. So I remember like locking my elbows and holding her really far away. And I remember her kind of fighting to get closer. Hey, there's people. This is, it was a really She talks about that to this day. It was a strange encounter. And then we kind of got together later, like, I'm sorry, I just don't really know the rules of dancing. And she was relieved because she didn't like it anyway. So I hope I didn't create that. Did I create that? Anyway. Verse 5, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. Time to clear that field, blueberry field. Time to clear the land to build. And then it's a time to gather those stones up to define your property. In the Hebrews' case, they built with stones, largely. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There's one. Okay. The word embrace, I looked it up. It is as simple as a handshake, striking a deal. And it also, I'm talking about the Strong's Hebrew definition, and it is as specific as sexual intimacy. That's what this word embrace, you know, implies. So I guess I'll just give you both ends of the spectrum. And what was Solomon meaning? I don't know. He had 1,000 wives. There's a time to embrace. There's a time to refrain from. There's a time to run. I don't know if that's what he meant, but crazy world he lived in. There's a time to embrace. There's a time to make a deal, strike a handshake. There's a time to refrain from embracing. I don't trust you. I'm not shaking your hand. Or, you know, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're at church, but you know, you and I have an issue. You know, there's a time to just refrain from embracing because it would be insincere. It would be fake. A lot of times in Christian circles, guys, and I'm just going to say this, what I'm concerned of is fakeness. Instance is encouraged. You just smile and you say hi to everyone. Well, if there's something between you and your brother, the Word of God says you go to that guy. You confront the issue. And I don't know. I think that's appropriate. I don't like to pretend. You know, but I know that I'm in good company. We're a sincere group of people. I love that about this group. Okay, let's give the sexual end of the spectrum. It's a time to embrace. It's a time for sex. Intimacy. It's an awesome part of marriage. Physical benefit to marriage. A way to express love in a marriage. And God designed it. And it is supposed to be pleasurable. It's supposed to be something that is holy and sacred. It's a cool thing. And there's a time to refrain. You know what I've discovered? Is your wife will let you know the time to refrain. This is not a good time. Okay. There's a time to refrain. You know, the Word of God talks about fasting and prayer. There's certainly a time. You guys know what I'm talking about, that stuff? Not just me. There's a time to refrain. You know, there's a time when you just deny your physical appetites everything just for the sake of seeking God and hearing His voice. I think that's very appropriate. But even the Word of God says, don't make that a habit. Don't do that at a long period of time because you'll be tempted in a bad way. So there's a time for those embracing moments and a time to refrain. A time to get, that literally means to gain, and a time to lose. You know, consider business transactions. We have a phrase or a term in our culture, get while the getting is good, right? We know how to spring on things and get those deals and use those coupons, right? And then there's time to lose. Let's just count it a loss. Let's walk away. Any more time invested in this could be detrimental to the cause. Certainly you can apply that to ministry as well. A time to keep and a time to cast away. There's a rule in my house. If we've had this for a year and we don't use it, it goes bye-bye. There's a time to store up and keep things, right? But I hate that personally, when things are just there forever. And you know what I mean? Then you know what it's the most troublesome? When you're moving. Don't you hate that? Why do we have this Acme iron anvil? Why do we own this? We never use it. You know what I mean? And so if that's just whatever. Time to keep, time to store, and a time to cast away. We could talk about the gender differences in those appropriate times. No, we need to keep that. Why? Because it's could come in handy. It's time to rend and a time to sow. It's a time to destroy something beyond repair so that it's out of your mind. You been there? Trying to sew that thing together or be a steward, and that's the issue here, it's stewardship. There's a time to just do it in once and for all, whether that's the family dog or a pair of jeans, just so that not one more dollar is invested, right? Time to do that. And then there's a time to patch it up. It's cheaper. We can make it last. There's a time to keep silent. Some of you are thinking that right now. I know. There's a time to speak. I struggle with one of those. But there is a time where silence is better. It's actually more effective in terms of ministry even. Just listen. Don't go to say anything. Just listen. And then there's a time that speaking is essential. A time to love and a time to hate. Is that okay? Is that biblical? Are there other scriptures that line up with this? It is. That bumper sticker, hate is not a family value. I realize the person who put that on the bumper sticker was probably thinking about something harmful and domestic violence. I realize that. But I don't know that I would embrace such a statement. There is a time for hate in the sense of resisting. If you love, you will hate, right? They go hand in hand. You can't love somebody without hating anything that opposes the safety of the object of your love. Isn't that true? I've seen this best portrayed in mommies. Something threatens their little ones. This bear, this little lady. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, it's scary. But there is a time for that. A time to love, embrace, serve sacrificially, like love is described in the Bible. And then there's a time to hate. And the last thing we'll look at tonight, a time of war and a time of peace. Solomon never knew war, but he sure saw a lot of it in his daddy. But Solomon inherited a kingdom that was largely known for peace. Both are part of the world we live in. Guys, you know, I certainly prefer peace, right? Who doesn't? Prefer a time of peace, no death. But peace will not be realized until the Prince of Peace returns, ultimately. Between now and then, there's just moments of peace. Short seasons of peace. But we live in a war-torn world because there's a lot of worldviews, there's a lot of ideologies, there's a lot of money. And because of that, war is the result of it. Well, that's our Bible study for tonight. We'll end there. Guys, let's finish our time together tonight with just praying. Okay, we got some time. Let's seek the Lord and ask Him to continue to move in our midst. Father, thank you so much for just being here, Lord. Thank you for every one of these faces. Thank you for your work in us and through us. I pray your blessing on this group of people, Lord. May we embrace the truths that we heard tonight, Lord, that there is a season for everything that we go through. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to mature this group of people, myself included, Lord. We want to be more and more like you, more and more like your Son, and we need your Spirit for that, Lord. So do your work in us and lead us by your Spirit now as we pray. In Jesus' name.